So in a desire to set apart our children to the Lord, we need to know, well, what does God call them to? What does he call us to? And so this morning we want to look then at the story of Caleb. I know this has been now a couple of baptisms where we've used a name and moved to a sermon, but wanting to see not just in a younger Caleb's life, but throughout his life, the wonder of how these promises that we've talked about this morning operate. And so it isn't just something for babies, for infants in the church, but for those when we are elderly. How do these promises continue to work in us? And so we're not going to be able to read the fullness of the Caleb narrative. It's why we're going to turn in our Bibles now to Deuteronomy chapter 1, where we hear Moses' summary of his life. So he looks back at the time before the wilderness wandering, before they get to enter the promised land. That's where they are now. But we'll also get to look then in the book of Joshua to the end, or at least the end of this account of Caleb, to be able to see how that promise works its way through the entirety of his life. And so we're thankful for the names that we're given, and knowing that this word then isn't just about one Caleb, but for those who seek to be wholehearted, that which his name speaks to us then this morning. So again, let's hear these words from Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse 19, reading through verse 40. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then we sent out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites. So again, we've been given the law. Now we need to go. We need to be that people. And here's what that is. And we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. This thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe, and they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord has hated us, he has brought us up out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying the people are greater and taller than we. The cities and great fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents and fire by night and in the cloud by day to show you by what way you should go. And the Lord heard your words and was angered. And he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he wholly followed the Lord. Even with me the Lord was angry on your account and said, you also shall not go in there. Joshua the son of Nun who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there. And to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. As far as the reading of God's holy word, may he apply it to our hearts and to our minds this morning. Let's ask him to do that in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we come before the accounting of the life of Caleb, one certainly intermixed with the account of your people, as they are delivered out of Egypt to a promised land only to reject it, to be forced into the wilderness exile for a time, Lord, to be brought back, and to be brought back before that history and that promise again. And yet there are two there, Caleb and his family and Joshua, Father, who are able to head into that promised land of that whole generation. And so, Father, in the example that we can take from him, but more in the picture of Christ that we see, Father, might the words of my mouth and the meditations of our spirit be pleasing to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we want our children to be when they grow up? Or maybe you're sitting there this morning asking, what do I want to be when I grow up? Well, certainly as we look at our children, we want them, by God's grace, to be faithful. That the rest of those things of vocation and calling may not matter, but we long for them to be faithful. What do we want to be now when we are children and continue to be in our old age? We desire, by God's grace, to be faithful. But we can't bring that about in and of ourselves. It's not in our power to do so. That while great promises have been placed this morning, that water has no efficiency to be able to do the thing for which we ask. It's a working of God's Word and Holy Spirit. So we wait upon Him. We need the Lord to do such a powerful work by His Word and Holy Spirit. And in faithfulness, He does that. He does that work in calling sinners to repentance and to faith. He creates new life within them, and He calls them then to a radical faithfulness in response to His steadfast faithfulness, mercy, and love. And so we should be thankful to God for that. All the more every day for that ordinary yet extraordinary work that He does. And so we're also then encouraged, not only for that work in us, but we're brought a greater encouragement when we come into contact with examples of faithfulness. That's why I prayed that way this morning. That we're thankful not only for that word and for that promise, but for those who live that before us. And so many of us have had the privilege of knowing in God's covenant goodness and faithfulness generations of faithful parents and grandparents who have taught us and led us in this way. And so what is it about those then who are found faithful? Are they doing something different? Is there something different about them? What is that thing which we all know is palpably different among those given to the Lord and who follow Him in faithfulness? And so I would posit this morning that it is something that we should all long for and desire to have more fully. That even in some of the texts we'll read this morning, that we would long to have a different spirit. That within us we would be given a desire for a fuller following after God, one that would wholly consume us. Because we long for Him. We want Him. And that's the description given in the Bible of Caleb, one whose name means simply wholehearted. That I would challenge you within the Bible to find a finer example, humanly speaking, of what that heart and life entail. Because it's a seeking after the Lord in the fullness of His promises. And not just one that's spoken, but it's one that's lived out. It's one that gives vitality to every part of that brother's life. He gives his whole heart to the endeavor, even in the way that we pray that this little Caleb before us this morning, and all of us together, would be given to that same singular pursuit. To pursue the Lord and His promises with our all in the grace that He alone provides. And so the Lord provides for His people an example in Caleb, one of a different spirit and full following, hear this, to lead us to the wonder of Christ. Because the accounts that we'll read in Numbers and in Deuteronomy and in Joshua are not void of the presence of the Savior, maybe in a different way than we would expect, but nonetheless the wonder of being led to Him. And so to open this theme, we're going to consider Caleb's life then at three distinct points, which leads us then to the faithfulness and following we're to lead, and more to the wonder of what's fully ours in Christ. And so the first is this: we come to him in his younger years, and we'll get to that in a minute, to a spirit of boldness in a youthful calling. And so with your Bibles open, I want you to turn back to Numbers 13. In Numbers 13 and 14, we see then the beginning of the account of Caleb, that which was summarized in what we read in Deuteronomy 1. And again, we can't go through all of it this morning. But what we hear right away, not just here, but also in Deuteronomy 1, is that call of boldness. Here is a younger man, and again, I know he's 40, so all of you 40 and younger are young yet. Good work. Younger, okay? Here is a youthful calling to go and be obedient to the call of the Lord, but to do so boldly, to stand for the truth, to stand for the promise that God had given. And so he's given to a calling. And so all of us, in hearing those words, a spirit of boldness and a calling, that should be our prayer for one another. That in all that we do and for all that which we've been set apart, that would describe us. And not bold in terms of personality or being out there or whatnot, but that boldness that says, I can move forward in confidence because I have sure promises. And it's certainly there in this text in terms of youth. And so we'll look at this period of life from birth to 40, even in the words of 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example. So we're not waiting for you to get older. The time is now to be bold in the calling that you've been given, to set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so what we see Caleb being shown for in terms of that wholeheartedness is to a calling. And so young people, as you hear these things, these are ways to be praying to the Lord. In desiring to follow Christ, Father, may more of this be known in me. And so the first of those things is a call to recognized leadership. Young men and young women, we're not going to say just the young men. Certainly there are offices in the church that are reserved just for you. But young women, we need you to be leaders in faith as well. And so we are called to a recognized leadership. There is something, a spirit about you, gifts in you, a heart in you that should be easily recognized and seen as God's work in you. And that's what's seen in Caleb. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. Verse 6, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. They were raising leaders. Here is one who had taken up leadership. Here is one who is recognized for it, not just in the span of a family, but in a whole tribe. A 40-year-old ready to take up his calling in boldness. And so, as you know the story, he goes along with the other spies into the land, and they take the fruit of the land. And they come back and they give a report. But the first report that is given is not the full truth. Look at Numbers 13, verse 27. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. It's covenant language. To that point, if they would have stopped there, here's truth. But then the lie. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, the cities are fortified and large, and beside we saw the descendants of the Anakim there. There's something keeping us away from following God. That the truth wasn't enough. And so children, young people, in the way that we speak truth into your lives, that your parents give themselves to that instruction in school, whether in home or in day school, when we come to a Sunday school class or catechism class, when we memorize the scriptures together, it's that we would cling to it and hold on to it and be young people in that call to be able to speak truth into each moment, to have an answer ready for the hope that is in us. And that here is the place of Caleb. Numbers 13, verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once to occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. He speaks the truth, and in speaking the truth, he knows the truth. They're not more than our God. That our children would be bold to speak into the face of the world, in the face of the lies. We know who God is. And we know his word, and he will be faithful to it. But it means we have to teach that word and continue to speak that word, longing that they would be brought in due time, and a boldness that comes from a resilient trust. Because in Numbers 14, what we would then come to is the distinction that comes. What should be seen as different. And certainly we would assume it about all of God's people, but it simply isn't the case. And so there's a difference in the text between the unbelief of the people and the belief of boldness and trust in those who hold to the promise. With Bibles open, look at Numbers 14, verse 2. And all the people of Israel, after this report, after all this has happened, grumble against Moses and Aaron, the whole congregation said to them, hear it. Would that we had died in Egypt. Not only, God, have you not been faithful to your promise, but you brought us out here to kill us. Denying not only the goodness of God, but the character of God. Or would that we had died in this wilderness, which God says, then that'll be the way it is. Our wives and our little ones would become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And we listen to this and say, there is no way that God's people would ever act that way. But we know our own hearts. We know our own sin. We know all the ways in which we look at the fancies of the world, at the seeming ease of the world, Psalm 73. But will we have trust? In fact, it was worse. Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. But now Caleb is used in the narrative, along with Moses and Aaron and Joshua, to say now is a time not to leave, but to be confident, to be bold in belief and trust in the promise. Look again at Numbers 14, verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were people of Israel, or who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. They know the language of the covenant. This is God's promise. Don't you remember? Don't forget it. Don't leave it. Don't go back to Egypt. And the way that we plead with our children, these are your promises. This is what Christ has done. Don't go back to that. And don't live that way. There is nothing good for you in Egypt. But this is where we walk. And this is where we're headed. And this is where we're going. And so believe it. Give yourself to it. And a boldness for that moment and that trust that stands firm even when the congregation all picks up stones with which to kill them. And the glory of the Lord enters into that moment to proclaim his judgment. Israel, you are not going to go into this land at this time. And none of this generation who didn't hold that trust and belief will enter either. Save for Caleb. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and, hear that and, it's so important, and followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. That within that calling, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we're holding on to. This is what we're sharing with our children. That they would be leaders, again, not just on a sports field or in a job circumstance, but in the Lord. In that word, in following after him, in not only knowing the truth, but trusting it, and giving themselves to it in every way, that they would be bold in the calling that is theirs, that is ours, not just when we're young, but throughout our life. And so that is to be known in a spirit of witness, in a faithful walking, and that in the second place, which you can turn back in your Bibles to where we read from Deuteronomy chapter 1. And so now we have this period of time of one who is a witness. And you're like, well, how is Caleb a witness? And certainly all of the things we've already mentioned are that. But think about that as he lives his life, as he gets older, and all of the people and all of those families from that unbelieving generation pass. And he ages up, and certainly everybody's getting older, but now he and Joshua are that much older. And in a place of which there are no elderly people after a time, other than the two of them, him and Joshua, there is something striking about this. What's different about him? As the years pass and fathers and mothers pass away, he remains according to the word of the Lord. But he has to walk it. That, I think, for me in studying Caleb this week, is the hardest struggle of my own heart. Because if I'm in Caleb's shoes, if I'm not guarding my heart and mind, I am bitter. Every morning having to wake up and walk a punishment when the land was there. It was right there. And now we're walking in circles year after year after year. And I long for it. We could have had it. But that isn't his heart. His life certainly is bound up then in a physical walk from years 40 to 85. But it's also a spiritual one. Because I know where I'm going. And even though it looks like we're walking in circles, I know where I'm going. And even when it's hard and I don't want to wake up to do that, I know where I'm going. And I know what's been promised. And I know what will be mine. Isn't that too a life of witness, brothers and sisters? When even through those hard things that we're trudging through, we know where it resolves. And so they walk. And they walk. And they walk. And yet what promise was given in Deuteronomy 1:33? The God who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. He hadn't left them. And the Lord heard your words and was angered, but yet there's Caleb. He shall see it. Verse 36. And to him and to his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he wholly followed the Lord. He followed it in good times, in that place of leadership, in the point when the triumph was there. He followed him in the defeat and the struggle, in the hurt of a people, and watching all of these people who had rejected the Lord, who had passed away, we pray, repented at some point in that journey. But nonetheless, the struggle. But he would go. It's faithfulness. You see, that's what we keep speaking to our children. Faithfulness. It's hard. Faithfulness. It's not popular. Faithfulness. The world doesn't. Faithfulness. What do we need to teach our children? We teach them and show them faithfulness. Again, we do it walking in a practice patience. That's Caleb's testimony throughout his life. And the Lord grants him patience for it. Deuteronomy 5:33, you shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. He's already living that promise. And more of it will come to pass. Caleb has to be in the narrative to walk for a powerful purpose, a life of witness to God's faithfulness to his word, which grants him perseverance. That we hear it in Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because he's walking with a prized perspective. I know where we're going. I'm not discouraged because I know where we're going. What can man do to me? I know where I'm going. What does this world have for me? I know where I'm going. I will have what is promised. But that means what, Caleb? You got to keep following the Lord with all your heart. He'll give you the strength to do it. He's given you the promise of his word. But you have to persevere. Again, Paul in Philippians 3, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the walk that we example for our children. That's in the middle ages of our life. that we continue to give testimony that God is faithful and good and will keep every promise of his word. It's a word of exhortation that we are to give witness to always as an older generation in this church. Because what we share is a spirit of blessedness and a hopeful aging. And that in the last point. And you can turn in your Bibles to Joshua 14, because that brings the narrative of Caleb to an end. Of blessedness. We've gone into the land, we've conquered the land, and now here's the inheritance. Here's what I've been waiting for 85 years to have, and I will have it. And so it says in Joshua 14, 6 through 9, then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.'" Hear that, wholly. 85 years old. I haven't given up. I haven't left it aside. I haven't put it aside. I haven't retired from that work. Here it is. Aging. 85. And understandably, there, but this is God's spirit in him. And for many of you, 85 is just a number. And that's awesome. That there's still a desire and a zeal for the Lord. That's that spirit and how it ought to work in us. And he gives testimony to it in verse 10 of Joshua 14. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Just as he said these 45 years since the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old." It was the Lord. Because hope makes us strong. I know where I'm going and I'm going to finish well. Verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me." This isn't just the boast of an 85-year-old saying, "I'm just as strong as I was at 40. He's saying the Lord is that strong. "My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and coming." I am strong in the Lord. What a testimony. That hope makes us thankful. Verse 12, "So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities." I am thankful for the promise. May I have it. May I have all of it. But not just, let me sit down and just take it. No, let me get it. Hope makes us active. "It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." Verse 13, "Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba." And you're like, well, why does that matter? It's the place he went to first. It's the place he gave description of. And oh, by the way, it happens to be the place of the burial plot of Abraham and his seed. I will have that. I will have the promise. Give it to me. Give it to me in full. Because his hope is bringing him to rest. And the land had rest from war. I fought all the way to the end. And there is finish for me. And if we sit here and say, well, because of Caleb, we've missed it. Caleb was a good guy, and look what came to him. Caleb never stops mentioning the faithfulness and goodness of the Lord. But in seeing Christ in the narrative, do you notice that Caleb is never alone in it? It's an amazing part of studying the story. Caleb, certainly as a younger man, is a part of the Exodus, but he's still among a people. And when he's called to his service, who's with him? Joshua. Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation. He's always with him. When he receives his promise, Joshua is with him. When Caleb receives his reward, Joshua is with him. That there is something of the presence of God throughout his life. And you say, well, how is that Christ then being spoken to us? Because as those young people, we've been given great promises. And the Lord has been with us. And he calls us to boldness. And he is with us and never leaves us or forsakes us. And he guides us in the way that he would have us to go. In the truth that he has given to us. In the trust that we can have in that word. When we pray, we will hear Caleb speak one day and an I do in a profession of faith. And throughout those years of walking in life through difficulty, as though life is going round and round in circles, the Lord is still there. With great promises of deliverance, knowing that he is calling us simply to follow him with all of our heart in repentance and faith, knowing that all of the way he is preserving us as we will persevere, the Lord is with us. Christ is with us, ever working in us a longing to have the full receipt of the promises, but knowing that he who gives the promise is faithful. That as we age and come near to the end of our days, all of us obviously ever nearer, we do so with Christ who is there. And yet that's why we are with a better than Joshua. Because Joshua gives that which isn't his to give. He's just dividing up something. But the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us, a glorious inheritance. And he brings us all the way through, walking with us to that whole place, and then says, come and share the rest that I've provided. He walks with us the whole way, walking with them who are wholehearted. And we can't have that apart from the work and presence of Christ, providing his word and spirit that we would have a different spirit in us and that we would follow him in thanks always. And so do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the promises that we've heard this morning? Have you embraced them? Is your heart wholly his? Is your hope firmly fixed in him? Because no matter our age, young, old, and everywhere in between, ours is a call to embrace those promises and to live for him wholeheartedly because he is with us and for us and has prepared a place for us. So heed his call. Be thankful for your hope. And praise him for the rich blessings that are ours as those found in Jesus Christ out of a whole heart. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for every promise of your word and for the example of Caleb and of Joshua, more, Father, of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in walking all of that with us in boldness and truth, knowing, Lord, that which he had come for and where he was going, and how he will come again for us to bring us into that land. And Father, we recognize our own struggle on this walk. We recognize how easy it is in our youth to dismiss those promises and to set aside our hope and to be quiet rather than bold. Father, work in our young men and young women, Father, a greater zeal and longing for you. Father, that in our middle age, Lord, we would continue to walk in faithfulness, persevering as you preserve us. And Father, as we get older, Lord, as we long for that inheritance, Father, we pray, find us faithful, using all of our strength and all of our heart for all of the days that you have given for the glory of your name. And so while we thank you for Joshua, we thank you for a better Joshua, a better salvation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as all your promises are yes and amen in him, may we cling to him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And find our salvation in Christ alone. For it's in his name that we pray this. Amen.